Our Lord Jesus Christ will reform the body of our lowness, made like to the body of his glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Lord is on his way to raise back to life the dead daughter of Jairus. They've already started the wake, and the musicians are playing, when a sick woman just touches the hem of his garment with faith, and she's healed. What's that about? Remember we saw that last year? Review time. And that how some commentators note that this verse made Calvin and the other Protestants break out into a sweat for fear that we Catholics should use it for what's called a test verse of the veneration of relics. And indeed, it serves for that purpose. The body and the clothing worn by the body, these are expressions of the person. We reverence them. Oh, in the case of, well, they do it for national heroes, and we certainly do it for church heroes, for our saints. Today we move, as it were, seamlessly from All Saints, with all of the relics of the church exposed on our altars for veneration, to the cemetery for All Souls Day. Every consecrated Catholic cemetery, and many a lonely grave in other places, is a saint's reliquary, or on the way to becoming one with the assistance of your good prayers. Today we're visiting relics, as it were, at St. Mary's Cemetery in Fort Mitchell. We go then from having portrayed the saints, the little ones, last Sunday, to preparing future saints by our own little prayers, sacrifices, and indulgences. We help them, our dear dead, to share in Christ's glory. We never visited the cemetery. When I was growing up in Detroit, it was Holy Sepulchre Cemetery. Some families or individuals go every week, I think. But all of us have the same belief about our dead and their burial and the fate of the body and the soul. That's gone now, or going, along with the whole idea of a complete Catholic funeral. Why is that? Well, stay with me if we move from the cemetery to the cinema. There's a movie coming out next month. It's a sequel, actually, called Blade Runner, whose story is textbook Gnosticism. Do you remember that movie about the flood? It was called Noah, 2-3 years ago. We talked about it. Well, when Hollywood wants to do religion, they do Gnosticism. It's as close to Christianity as they can bear to come. Gnosticism, from the Greek word for knowledge, or a certain hidden secret or false knowledge, St. Paul writes. It's based on a blend of ancient pagan philosophy and Jewish superstition, such as found in their true sacred book, which is the Talmud. And one of their ideas, one of the ideas of Gnosticism, is that the flesh is evil, and the soul is trapped in the body, and the world was made not by God, but by Satan. St. John would call these people who are bothering St. Paul today as he's writing this epistle, he would call them later on the synagogue of Satan, Judaizers in the midst of Christians. They're troubling the infant church, and indeed, they despised the body. Sometimes they held, well, the body doesn't really matter, so you can do whatever you want to with the body. It makes no difference. Then Other times they hold, oh no, asceticism, that's the rule of the day. You've got to be Buddhist and put your meditation time in. Unless you detach yourself from everything, there is no possibility of peace for you. No, writes St. Paul. It's because our bodies have a part in the resurrection that they're destined to be glorified one day with Christ, world without end. Amen. The body then must be treated with honor in life and in death. But the modern mentality, and as we've seen, it's actually quite old, that first heresy of Gnosticism, if you express that ancient idea, that old lie, in modern technological terms, you'd end up with, well, the person is just a computer stuck in a biological mass of tissue. And this is how Granny ends up in a jar on the mantelpiece. If the body is, they say, subpersonal, an app, really, an attachment to the real you, which is your mind, why have any respect for what is after death just vegetable peelings? Why not just head for the compost heap if you're ecologically or organically minded? In any case, dispose of it as quickly, practically, and in as cost-effective a manner, cheap, as possible. Oh, and watch out, don't leave a carbon footprint. But behold the hypocrisy of the world. They want you to use cremation. All this talk of ecology and of global warming, how does cremation work if not firing up a furnace to 1,800 degrees, and this furnace burns for 2 to 3 hours, and even then, the skeleton remains. And then they have to put the body into some other machine, the bone-crushing machine, to finish the job. And now they have a sort of a chemical stew that they prepare to melt away the flesh. But once again, the bones will need to be pulverized. When I read these modern techniques that are all the style of the day, I think of garbage disposal more than anything else. And they push it as cheap and environmentally conscious. It is rather a savage attack upon the sanctity of the body, the once and future temple of the Holy Ghost, as is all of the filth of Hollywood and all of the common talk of too many common people today. But let's be clear, at least on this subject. Catholics don't do cremation, period. Oh, if the bubonic plague were to come to Westchester, I suppose, or if there were all these battles, all these bodies on a battlefield, yes. But for the rest of it, no. It's rationalism. It was conceived of as a way of denying the resurrection of the body, to teach that death is the end, so dispose of the leftovers. It's promoted by Gnostics, who hold the flesh to have no sanctity and no destiny in glory. But our Lord says in the gospel today, she is not dead, she's just sleeping. And at the canon of the Mass, after the consecration, the celebrant prays for all of those who sleep the sleep of peace, and particularly in this month for your dead, whose names are on the altar. And what does cemetery, what does the word itself mean, if not from the Greek, a sleeping place? But if you're asleep, you wake up, exactly. Thelma Sieverding is being buried on Tuesday, and thank God she carefully planned her funeral and her children, although some of them had been raised as traditional Catholics very carefully, no longer share her faith, but they're respecting her wishes and those of her husband, Henry. And so they'll be and will be going back and forth from Indiana. It's a good hour's trip and a little bit longer to take care of a proper funeral. They did not choose the easiest way, as so many do today, or the cheapest. Why is that? You see, it's because it's not about them. It's Mom's funeral, her faith, and her soul. And so, tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon, there will start an evening wake in Versailles, in the funeral home in Indiana, to allow, why do you have a wake? To allow family and friends to stop by after work and pay their respects and say a prayer. And the wake usually includes, of course, the rosary. Very often, the family gives in to that modern short-sightedness and selfishness. They don't want to be bothered with the wake. No, we won't want that. Sometimes they might have a little bit of a mini-wake in a crowded vestibule for an hour before the Requiem Mass. But what about those who can't get away from work or otherwise occupied during the day? How could they come and do their part? People need to mourn and to give consolation to those who are mourning. It's human, and it is Christian. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. The wake first. Oh, a word on the casket. When you go to the funeral home to make the arrangements, it's a scandal to consider how much money is wasted on those things, how much vain show in any kind of a decent container would do. It's just pressure and good old American marketing. They make a reasonably priced casket to look really cheap. They make it out of particle board, and they let you know that. In fact, in the industry, it's referred to as a chippy. That's all selling technique. But don't buy into that. Go cheap when it comes to the casket. You don't have anything to prove to anybody by that kind of show. Use the money you've saved for masses, for the poor, for the Catholic education and seminary training. Open casket, closed casket, there's something to be said for both. That's entirely your choice. But the main thing is a Catholic funeral, the Requiem Mass. The purpose of the Mass is to apply our Lord's passion and death, in this case, to the soul of the deceased. One last time, the body is solemnly escorted into church. The purpose of the Mass allows the family to mourn and for everyone to show respect and to give comfort and to remember the reality of death, which is too often hidden from people today, and the truths of our faith. After Mass and the absolution, the burial. Where should you be buried? Well, it's up to you. It doesn't really matter anymore, as long as the priest accompanies or at some point blesses the grave. In the old days, we Catholics were buried in consecrated soil, as it's called, a cemetery very solemnly blessed by a bishop. The idea was the communion of the saints again. We live with Catholics and we're buried with Catholics. But now in the modern Catholic cemetery, anybody at all can be buried there. The baptized, non-baptized, notorious sinners, anybody. So it's lost its consecration. What matters is that you be buried in holy ground by the ministrations of the priest, by his blessing. The full Catholic funeral is dying out, just like the faith itself, and for some of the same reasons: ignorance, modern fashions, cheapness, stupidity. What can we say? But don't let that happen on your watch. Make plans. Instruct your family. Write those plans down and give the church a copy. Appoint someone you think might be trustworthy and look that person in the eye and tell them exactly what you want. Nothing is so consoling as a real Catholic funeral. It ends, but it does not end at the cemetery with ground burial. The cemetery. You may never return there until it's your turn, but be ready. Make your plans. Be responsible about these things. Most of all, prepare your soul, and a great way to do that is to remember your own dead every day in your devotions. Remember the anniversaries. Have masses offered. Sometimes just to go through the holy cards you collect in a lifetime, quite a few holy cards really, is a good way to remember to say a little prayer for many. You know, the cemetery does have a lot to offer the living. A stroll through one, a pious, prayerful visit, serves as a powerful reminder. What's a cemetery? It is a reliquary of saints. There are bodies there which will rise to glory on the last day. What a privilege it is to be there. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.